Camp Hill to Johnstown, St. Mary's to York, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, in Tuesday's primary election, Pennsylvania voters will be nominating candidates for the state Supreme Court. Kurt Schroeder from the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform joins Matt Briette and Rebecca Euler for a Capitol Watch roundtable discussion. And after a year of draconian shutdown orders and restrictions, we the people finally get a say on two proposed state constitutional amendments. I'll have a town hall commentary on restoring our liberty. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capitol Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. Despite the inflow of $7.3 billion federal stimulus dollars, Governor Tom Wolf is still pushing lawmakers to enact a hefty increase in Pennsylvania's personal income tax. The current personal income tax rate is 3.07%, and Wolf wants it raised to 4.49%. The governor says the new tax revenue is needed to close what he believes to be a $2 billion structural deficit in the state budget. He has not, however, proposed any spending cuts to help close that shortfall. The proposal is seen as unlikely to go anywhere in the Republican-controlled General Assembly. A new state budget must be approved by the end of next month. The House State Government Committee has released a report on the committee's months-long comprehensive hearings on Pennsylvania's elections process. State Representative Seth Grove chairs the committee. He predicted the report will, quote, lead to comprehensive legislative fixes to the numerous systemic problems which have led many voters to distrust election results, end quote. Grove says the pending legislation will make it easy to vote, hard to cheat. Governor Wolf has announced the end of all COVID-19-related restrictions, except the mandatory mask mandate, on Memorial Day. But a group of state senators is asking the governor to end the mitigation measures 2 days earlier. Senator Scott Martin of Lancaster County pointed to the devastating effect the restrictions have had, particularly on the hospitality industry, and says allowing a full reopening by Memorial Day weekend would help those industries recover faster. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. Voters statewide will be nominating candidates for Pennsylvania's appellate courts, including the state Supreme, Superior, and Commonwealth courts, in the upcoming primary election. Our Capitol Watch crew is here to talk about the importance of those courts and to take a look at the candidates. Matt Briette from Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs and Rebecca Euler from the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association are joined by Kurt Schroeder from the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform. Matt?
Welcome once again to Capitol Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening in Harrisburg for you. I am Matt Briette, President and CEO of Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs, your usual host, Dave Taylor of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. We've put him out on assignment. He's somewhere roaming the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania doing who knows what. But fortunately, we're still joined by Rebecca Euler, who is the President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. Rebecca, good to see you again.
Great to see you, Matt.
And on the line with us is Kurt Schroeder, who is the Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform. Kurt, welcome to Capitol Watch.
Hey, thank you, Matt. Good to be with both of you, Matt and Rebecca.
Well, we're glad that you can join us. And today's conversation is really a prelude going into the Tuesday, May 18 primary election, which a primary election, of course, is usually where the parties choose their nominees, who will then go off into the general election in November to go head-to-head, usually Democrats and Republicans. Of course, there are also Libertarians and Green Party and other independents. And this usually isn't an election independents get to vote in, but this is one where independent voters or people that are not part of the Democrat or Republican Party will want to be sure to show up on Tuesday, May 18, because there are some questions that you will have the opportunity to answer. And those questions will change our state constitution or have the potential to change our state constitution. And so we're going to tackle that, the constitutional questions that are on the ballot this Tuesday. And then we're also going to shift to talking about the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. And they actually go together. I mean, it's why we are having to deal with constitutional amendments, and it's because of our Pennsylvania State Supreme Court. And so on the second part of the program, we'll be tackling the Republican Party primary, because there are three candidates vying for one slot. And we'll tackle that here in a moment. But Rebecca, we have two constitutional amendments that relate directly to the emergency declaration powers of the executive, that being the governor. Explain why we're even here. Why are we even voting on constitutional amendments this Tuesday?
Yeah, well, those two constitutional amendments are a direct result of the emergency response during the COVID-19 pandemic last year when, as we know, the governor signed an emergency declaration early on. And as a result of that emergency declaration had a lot of unlimited powers with regard to what he could do and what actions he could take in the state in response to the emergency. Well, there were some discussions at the beginning of the crisis. Well, are we responding in the right way? Is it appropriate for to have all these shutdowns? Exactly how we're doing it, businesses, schools, all of that. And the General Assembly was not really involved in any of the discussion at the time. And in hindsight, we know that the governor, made some of those decisions in a vacuum and didn't involve the stakeholders in that process at all. So
in fact, if I could say, put sure. something in, Jake Corman, who was the Senate majority leader until this last election, he's now become the president pro tem of the Senate. So in leadership positions, he has not met with the governor in person since March of 2020. So when you talk about excluding legislators, especially the leaders from some of this consultation, I think that this is an important thing. And maybe to even get a finer point on this, in Pennsylvania, our statute allows for an emergency declaration to last for 90 days, which is extraordinary in the country. I think most states allow for a few weeks or a month. And then they also require legislative approval to continue those. And most people probably don't even realize that. I don't know if we're like in year four of the opioid disaster declaration or emergency declaration. So these things can last in perpetuity. And the reason an executive issues them is to have some extraordinary powers, that they can do some things that they couldn't do otherwise or that they couldn't do without legislative checks and balances.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, that 90-day emergency declaration has been renewed four times in the past year. And last year, the General Assembly was somewhat frustrated with being left out of the decision-making process.
That's a kind way of putting it.
Right? They passed several laws, tweaking various aspects of the emergency declaration and the way it was responded to. And the governor vetoed some of those. He let others, take effect. Some he vetoed and then implemented on his own.
Yeah.
But long story short, the General Assembly got frustrated and passed a declaration ending the emergency declaration.
Or a resolution.
And a resolution ending the emergency declaration.
Well, and that only happened after well past 90 days.
Yeah.
It was actually March 6, 2020, that Tom Wolf issued that emergency declaration. The effort to rescind it finalized in June, early June. So I think it was over 95 days that through all of that frustration, they finally said, look, we have to override his emergency declaration. How would you have felt as a legislator just being fully sidelined in a lot of that decision making?
Well, it's a very difficult position for a legislator to be in because they're constantly hearing from constituents about the shutdowns, the different things that occurred due to the emergency order, yet powerless, absolutely powerless to do anything about it. And although that's not exactly correct, because the law does say if they pass a resolution, concurrent resolution with the Senate, they can end the emergency. So that's what they tried to do, But what happened, of course, was the Supreme Court struck that down. And so by the result of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court's decision-making, the governor has both the sole authority to declare an emergency and the sole power to end the emergency. So there's really no balance of power as we're used to having balances of power between the legislature and the chief executive. It's an imbalance of power here. And theoretically, we could never get out of this emergency if the governor decided just to keep renewing it after another 90 days. The amendment, as I understand it, the voters will be asked to agree to in a couple days, will give the legislature in the Constitution the authority, the check and balance, if you will, to end a state of emergency that's declared by the governor.
Well, I would even take it a step further, Kurt, that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, their decision was actually a rewriting of the law, because I think the law was fairly clear. And this is where we have to get rid of any ambiguity in it. It was fairly clear that the General Assembly has the power to rescind an emergency declaration, which, as you said, through a simple concurrent resolution. They did that. Governor Wolf decided he had the power to veto said resolution. The Supreme Court effectively rewrote the law so that that stood, which what they basically set a standard for is that it would be easier for the General Assembly to impeach and remove Governor Wolf from office than to actually rescind an emergency declaration. The first question that people will be asked is that, should we allow or shall a simple majority of the House and the Senate be able to rescind an emergency declaration? So it's making it very clear that that concurrent resolution language rescinds an emergency declaration without any input from a governor. The governor has the input of declaring an emergency, but he can't thwart the will of the people, and that being represented by the House and Senate. So if ballot question one passes, it means a simple majority of the House and Senate can rescind an emergency declaration.
Right. And I think it's important to recognize that sometimes emergency orders are called for. Sometimes they are necessary. But they can also be abused.
You're listening to Capital Watch. I'm Matt Briette, President and CEO of Commonwealth Partners Chamber of Entrepreneurs. In the studio with me is Rebecca Euler, who is the President and CEO of the Pennsylvania Motor Truck Association. And on the line with us is Kurt Schroeder, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform. So question one says a simple majority to overturn an emergency declaration. And I think everybody agrees, look, if we are facing a crisis, I think and everybody agreed, when we were told, hey, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? Everybody was on board, and we didn't see any effort to truly overturn the governor's disaster declaration until he was vetoing bills, using a arbitrary and capricious waiver process that no other state was doing. And eventually, after over 90 days, they finally said, we're going to rescind this emergency declaration. And so the second question that comes up is, should the emergency declaration be limited to 21 days instead of the current 90 days? And this is more in line with what you see in most other states. So I think the people of Pennsylvania have a real opportunity to restore checks and balances, the separation of powers, and to really force our legislative and executive branches to work together. Rebecca, is that how you see it?
Absolutely. Though I want to pick up on something you said, Matt, about the first question, making it very clear what the intent of the law is. Well, what's not very clear is the wording of the constitutional amendments. So just make sure that you're aware of what the questions are actually saying.
Not what Governor Wolf wrote to Bias. Votes against these amendments.
Right, right. Because I believe the questions are worded such that it seems like they will give power to the General Assembly
and take it away from the
governor, which is exactly sort of the opposite of what the intent is. So just be aware that when you walk in there and read those ballot questions, it's not going to be clear.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court today is 5-2 Democrat Republican. Chief Justice Tom Saylor is being forced to resign because of age. We have a cap that at 75 years old, you must, it's a mandatory retirement. So it's, it will be either 5-2 Republican or 6-1, I'm sorry, it will either be 5 Democrats, 2 Republicans, or 6 Democrats and 1 Republican after this next election. The Democrats have already picked their Supreme Court nominee, Marie McLaughlin, who is from Philadelphia, supported by the trial lawyers. But on the Republican side, there is a 3-way race. And you really have the West, the center part of the state, and the eastern part of Pennsylvania represented on the ticket. From the West, you have Patricia McCullough, who is a Commonwealth Court judge. In the center part of the state, you have Judge Kevin Brobson, who is the president judge of the Commonwealth Court. And from the eastern side of the state, you have Paula Patrick, a Court of Common Pleas judge from Philadelphia. The Republican Party has endorsed Judge Kevin Brobson. And for full disclosure, Commonwealth Partners has also endorsed Judge Kevin Brobson. Kurt, this is something that's right up your alley as you work on civil justice reform. What's your take on the Supreme Court race and how important is it to you and your members?
Well, it's critically important. And Matt, you hit the nail on the head when you said when a court, Supreme Court especially, misinterprets a law or when they disregard the plain language of a law favor of their preconceived notion of what the law should be, the results can really be devastating. And in fact, that is what has been happening more and more often over the past 5 years with the current Supreme Court. Matt, we have a job-crushing, healthcare-destroying Supreme Court. And people might not realize that the high court of the state can have that kind of impact, but in fact it does. Because, as I said, over the past 5 years, they have issued an avalanche of decisions and opinions that expand liability, that expose more people to lawsuits. And when that happens, when liability is expanded, it means there's more money in the hands of personal injury attorneys. There's less money available for job creation. Healthcare becomes more expensive and less available. And so you have the Supreme Court, in effect, putting out there these policies that quite often contravene what the legislature intended. So this race is critically important because the voters of Pennsylvania need to get this right. We have the Chief Justice, Tom Saylor, who's retiring at the end of the year, and he is one of the Republicans on the court. And he's also, frankly, been the only member of the Supreme Court, in my opinion, that we can count on consistently for the things that small businesses, your doctors, your hospitals, and others believe are important. So we really do need to get this right.
Well, it's absolutely critical, and we know that we're paying the price from 2015 when the trial lawyers and unions really blew out the doors on spending, I think over $11 or $12 million to win three state Supreme Court races. That it's been this court that I say they may wear black robes, but they have team blue jerseys on underneath them, which has been unfortunate because, you know, I'm not for people that have team red jerseys on. I want team rule of law. People who read the law as it is and interpret it according to our Constitution, not make it up based upon the outcomes that you want to see happen. So going into this, Kurt, has the Coalition for Civil Justice Reform made endorsement promoting a particular candidate?
Well, Matt, our organization does not endorse candidates per se. But what we have done is we've created a judicial voter election guide on our website. And this guide gives some very good information on, you know, what problems are caused when courts expand liability as fast and as quickly as the Supreme Court has. And it also goes into some of the cases, you know, that we're talking about. We've done extensive research on this, and there are, you know, somewhere, you know, 26 cases or so that we reviewed. And it's all right there in our voter guide.
And what's the website for that, Kurt?
Well, it's at our website, which is www.pcjustice.org. PAforCivilJusticeReform.org. And once again, that's www.PAforCivilJusticeReform.org. And Matt, what we also did is we sent out a questionnaire to all of the candidates running for Supreme Court, the three Republicans, the one Democrat. We also sent questionnaires to the candidates for Superior and Commonwealth Courts that will be on the ballot in a couple days here as well. I will say, you had mentioned Judge Kevin Brobson a little earlier. Judge Kevin Brobson is the only Supreme Court candidate to respond to our questionnaire. And if you read Judge Brobson's responses, I think he it shows a clear understanding of the impact of these Supreme Court decisions that have come down. And I think it shows a clear understanding of the proper role of a jurist and the proper role of a Supreme Court justice.
And that's going to have to be the last word. I'm sorry we've run out of time, but folks, go to PAforCivilJusticeReform.org to get that guide. Kurt, thanks so much for coming on, talking to us about the importance of this judicial race and the constitutional amendments today.
My pleasure.
Well, and for Rebecca and Matt, thanks for listening to Capitol Watch. And now a town hall commentary from Loman Henry.
Thank you, Matt. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So begins the unanimous Declaration of the 13 United States of America. Importantly, the Declaration continues, quote, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. The time has again come for we, the people of Penn's Woods, to alter our governmental foundation. Our state system of checks and balances has become broken due to the exercise of despotic executive power and a level of judicial activism never authorized in our founding documents. As Thomas Jefferson so eloquently wrote, our form of government has become destructive to the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for the vast majority of Pennsylvania citizens. It is now our right to alter that government. Fortunately, we do not need to fight a war of liberation against the world's most powerful empire. A simple trip to the ballot box will right the wrongs of the past year. While our system of checks and balances has failed, our Constitution has not. It provides an amendment process that, under extraordinary circumstances, allows we the people to take corrective action. Such a time is this. On May 18th, two proposed state constitutional amendments, if passed, will restore checks and balances. Taken together, the amendments will restore what was law before the state Supreme Court, in a display of unfettered judicial activism, changed it. The amendments will give our elected state senators and representatives a voice in the use of emergency powers. They will prevent any future governor from inflicting upon the people of Pennsylvania the draconian measures implemented by executive fiat over the past year. Jefferson continued in the Declaration to state a long list of, quote, repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world, end quote. The injuries and usurpations imposed by Governor Wolfe rival those King George visited upon the colonies. Wielding unchecked power, Tom Wolfe has deprived millions of Pennsylvanians of their right to earn a living by imposing harsh and scientifically unjustifiable business closure orders. He has instituted policies that have deprived our children and grandchildren of their ability to gain a suitable education. He stole our liberty by issuing stay-at-home orders and work-from-home orders. And he did all of this under a veil of secrecy, at one point closing the state's Office of Open Records and defying legislative subpoenas for information. He acted without consultation with the General Assembly, going so far as to veto lawmakers' repeated efforts to restart our economy and mitigate the damage done by executive orders. Amending the state constitution is a difficult and rarely used process, and for good reason. Proposed amendments must pass two consecutive sessions of the General Assembly in exactly the same form. Getting lawmakers to agree once is a hefty task. Twice is next to impossible. But so egregious have been Governor Wolf's actions, the legislature did just that. But there is one more step in the process. The amendments must be approved by voters in a statewide referendum. That vote will come on Tuesday. And Governor Wolf is using the levers of our own government to stop us from expressing our will. His Department of State has drafted ballot language that makes the amendments appear to be something other than what they are, which is a necessary restoration of checks and balances. He has deployed various state agencies to push out false or misleading messages about the impact of the amendments. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Tom Wolf is desperately trying to hold on to a level of power that no governor, Republican or Democrat, now or in the future, ought to hold. He has had his say. Now it is our turn. Our forefathers declared independence on that fateful day of July 4th, 1776. We can restore our liberty with a yes vote on Tuesday, May 18th. With a town hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. And the 2021 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference is now just a few weeks away. After being virtual last year, an in-person conference will be held June 11 and 12 at the Radisson Penn Harris Convention Center in Camp Hill. The Pennsylvania Leadership Conference is the premier gathering of conservative activists each year here in the Keystone State. This year's featured speakers include Jesse Waters, host of Waters World on the Fox News Channel, Fox News contributor Jason Chaffetz, along with John Gizzi of Newsmax. Complete information, including the conference agenda and registration for the 2021 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference, can be found at paleadershipconference.org. And if you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, lincolnradiojournal.com and lincolninstitute.org. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations, including the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.